The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen in the studio. We have Carlisle, Salisbury and Worcester in the afternoon, Bath and Kempton in the evening, and there's also a card over in Ireland on Wednesday evening as well from Nace. So six meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Good, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. Just before we start with the podcast, a Royal Ascot winner, Mr. Quinn.
Yeah, I know.
Must have been nice.
It was. Yeah. It was good. It was good, but now, without sounding too nonchalant, now you have to move on and, you know, look for the next winner, and that's what we're already doing. And whilst we enjoyed last week, it was great, and the horses come out of the race in fine form, which is the main thing. As I say, we've got a yard of chock full of nice young horses, and we've got plenty more to go at. So that's a positive as well.
Yeah, good stuff. What we're going to do on this podcast is we're going to get Sean's thoughts for Carlisle on Wednesday. We'll get his thoughts in the three races there in just a moment. But let's quickly have a quick chat about some of the racing news. And we'll start with Kingston Hill front page news as we record this on Tuesday. His Irish Derby bid hinges on the rain.
Yeah, which doesn't look like it's going to come, does it? I know. As we record this now, it's bombing down here in Leeds. I've seen pictures of racing from Beverley, and it's bombing down at Beverley. But I think these are just sort of flash storms that we're going to get, and I can't see the rain getting into the ground over in Ireland too much over the coming week. I think it's going to ride on the quick side, and of course we know that Kingston Hill appears to be a better animal on softer ground, doesn't he?
He does. If he does get the rain, do you fancy him to reverse placings with Australia anyway?
Not really.
No?
Not really. I thought Australia beat him fair and square, and Australia looks quite versatile with regards to the ground. I just think Australia is a better horse of the two. That's not to say Kingston Hill isn't a very good horse, but it may be a case of if he can avoid Australia, then he'll be able to bag another group on somewhere this season.
OK, talking of good horses, Trave, we've got some more news about her. Head Marek says that she may be back in work within 3 weeks, so good news anyway, because the original fears were that it was going to be longer than that.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems that she's only suffered a minor injury, which is great, and she's probably just a little bit stiff and sore and quite racked after a hard race on hard ground at Ascot last week. I think it probably proved, well, it did prove that she's not the filly she can be on quick ground. When she gets a bit of cut in the ground, she's a completely different proposition, and she looks set to race in France at the back end of the year. There's no talk of her racing anywhere else, so you'd imagine she'll get that bit of juice in the ground in the autumn time over in France. And I still would have full faith in Trev to get back to her very best. And as you say, it's excellent that we're going to see her again this season. Cricket Head has said that they will aim her for the Prix Vermeil, but if not, then they will go straight to the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. And you know, it would be nice to see her in the Prix Vermeil, but I'm sure even if she misses that engagement, that Cricket Head Marek will get this horse to the Arc in tip-top condition.
Yeah, and if she gets her conditions, a bit of rain for the Arc, then if she's back to her best, she's going to be hard to beat again, isn't she?
Yeah, very much so. Of course, she's going to have to take on the new generation, the likes of Australia that we just mentioned. So it's not going to be easy for her. We know how tough it is for horses to win back-to-back Arcs. But given how good she looked in the race last year, if she's back to her best, Mark, you'd have to think that she is still the one they have to beat.
Okay, one more bit of news before we move on. Peak Sue won at Royal Ascot, of course. He's going to follow up bidding to follow up in the Northumberland Plates.
He's going to follow up. That sounds like you've backed him.
Yeah, I haven't, but I might have to now. do you rate his chances?
Look, he's got to have a very solid chance. The only thing I would say is that the race comes quite quick on the back of that Royal Ascot race, only 7 days. And I fancied him for the Royal Ascot race quite strongly, simply because you could be assured that he was one of the few in the race that would see out the trip very well, and indeed he did. That said, though, he raced quite keenly at times through the race the other day, and Ryan Moore did very well to get the horse covered up and get him settled as best he could, because he was a little bit chewy and fizzy throughout the race, suggesting that a drop back to 2 miles mightn't be beyond his reach. But I don't think bookmakers are giving anything away. I think he's around a 4-5-1 shot with us at William Hill, and I think his price is about right, Mark. I don't think he represents a huge deal of value.
Okay.
And of course, the other thing with the plate is that I would suggest punters do is wait until Thursday, unless you've seen a horse that you think is a standout bet and will shorten closer to the time. The draw is very, very key in the Northumberland plate. The start is around the furlong marker, so runners only have about a furlong and a bit to race to before they hit the bend at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And horses that get drawn quite wide can get stuck out on a limb and hence be pushed quite wide throughout and cover a great deal more ground than those, drawn a good bit lower.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Peak Sue, 5-1 market leader for that with us at the moment. And just a note, he has a £5 penalty for his Royal Ascot success. Mm. That puts him on £9.1, providing that Similon stays in the race as well. And barring the last 2 years, that's been quite high in the works for a Northumberland plate winner.
Yeah, although I do think the handicap is going to be rather more compressed this year, Mark, than it has in recent years.
Yeah.
I think the reason for that will be that we're going to get a quick ground Northumberland plate. In recent years, there's been digging the ground. There was certainly a bit of juice in the ground last year, and I think it was 2 years ago that Ile de Ré won the race. It was an absolute bog.
It was, yeah.
They did well to get the meeting on, you'll remember. So that was maybe why the handicap was as long as it was. There were horses getting in off lower weights. This year, I don't think it's going to be the case. We've got a couple of horses entered in the race, but at this stage, I'd say it's unlikely that either will get into the race.
Okay, we'll leave that there. We must move on to Wednesday's racing. Sean's picked out three races for us at Carlisle, and we'll get his thoughts in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, a good day coming up at Carlisle on Wednesday. We have the Carlisle Bell and the Cumberland Plate on their card. And the first race that Sean's picked out is the Carlisle Bell Consolation Race. That's at 3:35. And this is a Class 4 handicap over the extended 7 furlongs. And it's not the trickiest puzzle to solve with 17 of them in the lineup here, Sean. Which ones are on your shortlist?
About 16. One thing you can't accuse me of this time around, Mark, is shirking the issue. We've gone for three pretty trappy handicaps. But no, it's Carlisle's big days racing, and there are good betting opportunities for punters. So it's well worthwhile covering these races. Towards the top of the weights, you've got the likes of George Rook, who was a recent winner at Hamilton over 6 furlongs. I think he'd have to enter the equation here. Although that said, Keith Dalgleish, his stable jockey is Tom Eaves, and he rides another of the stable's runners in the race, Tectonic. Tectonic comes into the race on the back of a second here at Carlisle last time out. That came over the extended mile and 1 furlong, dropping back to just shy of a mile. I wouldn't imagine it should inconvenience him too much. Certainly if they go a quick pace, he'll be thriving at the end. And I do think it's significant that Tom Eaves rides this horse, given that the Dalgleish team have 3 others in the race, so he would have had a few to choose from here, so you'd have to throw him in the mix. Tectonic. Eutropius was a beaten favourite last time out, finished second up at Musselburgh, beaten fair and square behind a horse called Bartak. He pulled nicely clear of the rest of the field. They probably didn't go fast enough for him that day. There were only 6 runners. He looks to me to be a horse who's best suited when the field sizes are double figures. He's a winner in a 17-runner race at Thirsk 3 starts back. The time before that, he won up at Musselburgh in an 11-runner race. So the big field here should suit Eutropius, and he's not badly berthed in stall 1. I think another that I'd throw into the mix is Fazza, who's a course and distance winner and ran a good race behind Eurystheus at York last time out. The one big negative for Fazza, which has knocked him off the shortlist and stopped him being the selection, is his draw in stall 16. it's just going to take a wonderful ride from Kevin Stott to get this horse to win from 16, particularly with the ground riding quick. If the ground was soft, then of course they'd end up coming up the stand side when it gets particularly testing, but that's not going to be the case. It's going to be on the quick side, so I'd leave him off the list. A horse who still is drawn slightly wide, but isn't as wide as Fazza, is Richard Fahey's charge, Ventura Quest, and this horse is going to be the selection. He's ran two very good races this year. First time up, went sixth in a very competitive three-year-old handicap at Musselburgh, won by Belimbi. And then last time out, he ran over nine furlongs at Musselburgh in a race won by Master of Finance. Now, that race has worked out very, very well. He was beaten at odds on that time at Ventura Quest, but Master of Finance has gone on to frank the form quite nicely. He came out of the race and was second in the big Musselburgh Gold Cup two starts back, and then at the weekend he was third in the Swiss Derby. So he's taken his form to a new level in recent weeks, and that beating which Ventura Quest suffered at the hands of Master of Finance doesn't look too bad now. Ventura Quest, of course, gets weight for age because he is a three-year-old racing against his elders. I think that could be key as well, and I think he's going to take a bit of beating here.
OK, Ventura Quest and the selection for Sean in the Carlisle Bell Consolation Race. On to the Carlisle Bell itself next. That's at 4.10, and this is a Class 4 handicap of the extended 7 furlongs as well. 17 of them in the lineup here. It doesn't get any easier, Sean.
No.
Just narrow it down for us a bit.
Well, I think we've just got the 15 on the shortlist this time. Looking through the race, there are plenty of horses in this race that are quite exposed. We know plenty about these horses. Very few of them have anything to hide from the handicapper. I thought that a horse that could be mildly interesting might be Securitas, who disappointed last time out at Carlisle, but had run a good race at the same track two starts back when just beaten by Back of the Queue. He obviously goes well here because he is a winner here in the past as well. So he would have made the shortlist, but again, he's drawn wide. He's in stall 15. Which would put me off siding with him. Another horse who's a little bit wide, his recent winner, Balducci. This horse fairly bolted up at Nottingham only 9 days ago, beating Lou Hafe by six lengths. We've seen plenty of David O'Meara's handicappers win and win tidily in recent weeks. He's got his string in really good form, Balducci included. But from stall 13, I think it's going to take quite an effort. A horse who I'd probably just give the vote to marginally here is David Barron's horse, She's a Star. This horse may just have needed her first run of the season. That came at Doncaster in a race won by Hillbilly Boy. But last year she had some pretty decent form to her name. Listeners will remember that she beat Dutch Rose, a decent horse of David O'Meara's, at Doncaster back in July of last year. She was touched off in a race at Yarmouth back in September by Ocean Tempest. Well, we know what Ocean Tempest has gone on to do subsequently. He's rated a good bit higher now. So She's a Star comes into the race needing to bounce back from that below par run. But on last year's form, she's not without a chance, and she might be a nice price here.
OK. On to the 4.45 then, the Cumberland Plate, another decent handicap. It's over the extended mile and three furlongs, this one, and 17 go to post in this as well. I was a little bit interested in Endless Credit, Sean, because unexposed and running some decent handicaps, and this will be a bit of a drop in grade, despite being so competitive. But who do you like here? Give us the winner.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out Endless Credit. As you say, Luca Kamani's horse didn't run too well at the York Dante meeting, but might still be open to progress, having just had the four starts to date. I think Croquembouche could be mildly interesting towards the top of the weights. He is indeed the top weight, Croquembouche. He ran in a race at Chester last time out, which is working out quite well. It was won by Running Deer, who was given a lovely ride that day and won the race. Probably got the run of the race. We had the second horse, Tahira, who was a little bit short of luck that day, but I think she's a filly who's got a big handicapper in her this season. Strictly Silver, the third placed horse, has come out and won at the weekend up at Ayr. So the form looks pretty solid for the grade, and Croquembouche was just beaten over seven lengths that day, so he might run a race at a price. You've got the likes of Aramis, who come into the race in cracking form. He seeks a hat trick. Memory Cloth would probably appreciate the ground a bit softer. Dark Ruler's been in very decent form, but again, might prefer the ground a bit softer. We've got Omar Ladd in the race, He's well handicapped on bits of old form and will be winning before too long, but he might like a bit more dig in the ground. So as I say, at the prices, Croc and Bruce, I would imagine will end up a double figure price, and he'll get the vote from me.
Okay, nice each way selection then in the Cumberland Plate. Thank you very much, Sean. Good stuff, and enjoy the action on Wednesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. A good day to look forward to as well at Carlisle. Alongside that, we have Salisbury and Worcester in the afternoon, Bath and Kempton in the evening, and there's a card over in Ireland at Nace as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.